But first thing this morning, looking across the front pages, the Irish Times has a photo of happy picnickers at Electric Picnic from last night in County Laois. But we do know that farmers in the Stradbally area are not best pleased with all of the traffic disruption having an impact on their harvests. But both farmers and festival goers will be united, I think, in their prayers for fine weather this weekend. And at least according to Met Éireann, they might even be granted, at least partly anyway. Now, while there is no official what it says in the papers this month on RTE, we have decided to have our own unofficial version looking at this week's agricultural and local press. And here to give me their views, our long-standing presenter of Ear to the Ground, Dara McCullough, who's here with me in studio, and also former editor of the Irish Country Living and National Treasure, Mairead Lavery, who is in our Limerick studio. Mairead, if I come to you first, we see that on Taoiseach Simon Harris and Minister for Agriculture Charlie Conlogue made the front pages of the Irish Farmers Journal, the Farm Examiner and the Farming Independent this week. So the Taoiseach was talking about radical reform on inheritance, and Minister McConlogue has been tasked with looking at a new farmer retirement scheme. So roughly in Ireland, only about 5% of the farmers are under 35 years of age. Now, there was a farm retirement scheme here in the 1990s that paid farmers €15,000 a year. But do you think that worked? Does it warrant coming back again?
Yes, I do think it worked. And I think the whole feeling about it was that it allowed farmers to retire with dignity. And it was a very big success. And I remember, I mean, one of the only things that people were given out about was that the retiring farmer couldn't carry a bucket across the yard or help move the cows across the road, a public road. They had to be firmly out of the business. Now, the retiring farmers weren't too keen on that, but the incoming young farmer was absolutely delighted because it put them in charge of the yard instead of their parents. So it was a de facto, change in how the farm was operated. I remember it was the Women in Agriculture Conference. It was 2008, and Brendan Smith was the Minister for Agriculture at the time, and he turned up and he talked nice things and he said nice words. And that afternoon we got word that the Farm Retirement Scheme was gone. It got hit by the austerity measures back then, and I can tell you there were loads of people, loads of women in that hall in tears at the abandonment of that that pension, that retirement pension, because you could take it from the time you were 55 up to the retirement age of 65. So it paid to actually get going early with it, because, you know, when you're 67, 60, or if you were, say, 62 or 63, you wouldn't get the same benefit out of it. So, yes, it was a success. And the thing now about all of this that's you know, in the front pages this week is that, you know, the word has been put out there now. Simon Harris is interested in it. The Minister for Agriculture is. But if they don't do something very fast, it's going to just sit there and nobody is going to make any plans because they're waiting to see what's going to come out from the government and what changes are going to be made. So, you know, it kind of, when I saw that there's going to be this commission on generational renewal, oh my God, that sounds as if it's going to be going on for a generation, not a mind, you know, a couple of weeks. And, you know, everything will be on hold. Nobody's going to make a move on farm transfers, on farm partnerships or whatever until they actually, until they get going.
Like a big part of that is, like you're saying, that it's sitting there, and in a way it is, but it's also been a big sea change, because the last time it was suggested that there be a farm retirement scheme, I think it was 2 years ago, FOI documents came out. The idea was put around from the Department of Agriculture that there'd be €3,000 a suckler cow given, and there was absolute uproar. Dara, do you remember that? And like, what is it now with the sea change, just even in the last 2 years, that farmers suddenly want a farm retirement scheme?
Well, there was a lot of talk over the last couple of years about reducing the national herd, and there would be a retirement scheme for cows.
Well, farmworks didn't want a farm retirement scheme either.
Yeah, correct. And I think, you know, it's a classic political tactic, you know, announce that you're setting up a committee or a group to review the thing and kick the thing to touch and hope that it's not around when by the time your term comes to an end.
Well, I think you're as cynical as I am, because I saw the Tánaiste, the Taoiseach, getting on the front page of the Farming Independent, and then you see it on the front page as well of the Farmers' Journal. But the interesting thing about the Farmers' Journal was there was actually very little detail in it. It was talked about what was this radical reform, but actually there was no detail in it compared to a week before the front page of the Irish Times that actually had that the inheritance limit was going to be raised from 335,000 to 400,000.
But that's not radical, okay? You know,
no.
The tax bans get changed every year. So, you know, bigging it up as a radical reform, I think that's classic kite-flying exercise.
Yeah.
And it creates all kinds of expectations, as Mairead has talked about.
So what should a retirement scheme look like, Dara, for you? What would entice you?
Well, let's get back to first principles. I mean, the key objective here is to get, you know, we have this really rapidly ageing population on farms. And, you know, it's not just that farmers... The people on the farms are older, is that the people controlling the assets and making the decisions are well past their decision-making age. As in, it's not that they've all lost their marbles, but they're not going to take risks, they're not going to innovate, they're not going to develop new enterprises when you're in your 50s and 60s. You should have the hard yards behind you at that stage. So we need something that encourages young people into farming and gives them the reins. So a retirement scheme could be part of that. But that's only part of the equation, Hannah, because, you know, if there isn't opportunities there, like basic economic opportunities within the farm, then it doesn't matter what kind of retirement scheme you have, young people still aren't going to turn up.
And we might talk about that later in diversification.
Yeah.
Mairead, I'm just wondering, you know, you mentioned the earlier farm retirement scheme there and it was going on for 10 years, 15,000 a year. We have an ageing population now in Ireland. Are other sectors going to be looking at this? Are non-farmers going to be looking at this, saying, like, why do we have to pay farmers to retire? Why is that coming out of Exchequer funding or even CAP funding?
Well, I suppose, you know, food is something that we all need. It's not optional. Lots of things that we buy are optional. Lots of the work we do, you know, you could say is optional as well. But agriculture is somewhat different than that. And we need to keep producing food. It's a big export value to the country. But unfortunately, I suppose, because of the scale and size of farms, they're just not capable of producing producing incomes for two families, the retired family and the aspiring farmer. And it's about trying to get the land of the country into the hands of a younger generation who, as Dara rightly says, will be prepared to maybe take more chances look at other options rather than play it safe.
It's interesting you talk about land there, because we all know the price of land at the minute seems to be going only in one direction, which is up. Dara, you wanted to talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a constant obsession for farmers is...
It was always a constant obsession.
...is land price. And it's kind of an interest. I mean, in reality, a lot of the people in Ireland are only a step or two away from the land. So they kind of have a passing interest in it. We are going through a phase of record land prices. I mean, I don't hear a lot of chat about it, but I'm looking in the Farmers' Journal this week and they kind of play it down. They have this headline, land prices on course to hold well into the autumn. That could easily just read land prices continue to hit record highs, because, you know, there's reference to 16 to 20,000 an acre for good land being the standard down in the southeast. It's 17 to 18,000 an acre. It's not so long ago the average land price, you know, across the country in good parts of the country was 8, 9, and 10,000 an acre. 10 grand an acre for good land was the benchmark for a long, long number of years, and it's almost doubled. It looks like that it's kind of ironic, because, you know, farming incomes aren't strong at the moment. So what is driving land price? And it seems that it's basically a great place to park money for people outside of farming.
Yeah. And I think that inheritance threshold that's going to be risen might not actually make a huge amount of difference if you're farming or non-farming, because it's not that hard to get an agricultural degree or certificate. Mairead as well, then, in terms of who is buying this land, you wanted to mention a piece from the Farming Independent where Mike Brady is talking about the big shots. We don't hear that word too much nowadays.
Yeah, I just saw big shots kind of come in on the land market. I mean, well, look, at some of them are fairly well documented in the courts at the moment. And conglomerates from overseas coming in as well to buy. I mean, the thing about land is they're not making any more of it. And actually, every year that kind of goes by, there's less of it in terms of good arable land that you can graze and produce crops from on a yearly basis. And and there's plenty of demand for it out there.
Well, I'm with you, Mairead, as well. I have a really, really sad story on page 11 of the Farmers Journal by Tommy Moyles about the calves that ended up dead at the end of a cliff. That was just a horrific story. And if anyone has the paper, the pictures there are just, I mean, they're incredible, but they're awful at the same time.
Yeah, it was so, you know, I mean, these were hand-fed calves. Like, they were nearly pets. They'd come follow a bucket, you know, for a bit of nuts. And the farmer, there were 20 of them in a field, and I think it's 12 of them went over the side of a cliff. And, you know, the photograph is very graphic. It's not usually the kind of photograph that ever appears about things like this. And so they were literally fell to their deaths. And the Department of Agriculture are suggesting that dogs may have been involved. And, you know, it's back to the subject of private property and people thinking that they can just walk all over it and let their dogs loose. And, you know, a bunch of calves like that just wouldn't be guided. There'd be no guidance. They'd get very skittish altogether. And, you know, the next time you find all these poor things, broken bodies on the cliffs below. And you know, in actual fact, the shock to the couple that remained, the few that remained, you know, will last for a while as well.
And like, dogs is a real issue. And just to remind people, if they are walking around on the weekend, to keep their dogs on a leash. Dara, I guess you're from sheep country in a way as well. You'll be sort of familiar with that. Hey, you've got more sheep in your county than Limerick does anyway.
We've the fewest sheep in the country. We've even fewer sheep in Dublin.
Well, I thank God for that. But Dara, we're going to talk about the Trim Agricultural Show. Or do you want to talk about your honesty box? We've got a range of local stories now that we're going to move on to.
Yeah, well, there's two stories that caught my attention. An honesty box that had been operating on a farm near Ballinhadreen in County Roscommon, operated by Sabrina Kuchenbacher for the last 3 years. They've been selling jam and eggs. Classic way of starting up a little farm diversification business. And wasn't it robbed in the last week? The suspicion is because the lads, or the people that robbed the box, left a fishing knife behind them. And there was reports in the area of a crew walking around with fishing rods up and down the roads. And I wouldn't think that fishermen would be walking up and down the roads around Ballinhadreen too much. So that was a little bit suspicious. Yeah. But, you know, the notion that they would crack open an honesty box for the 20 or 40 or even 50 euros, and they took 9 pots of jam just to rub salt in the wound. Yeah, I mean, it's a really crappy thing. And, you know, when you're running a little tiny little micro enterprise like that, every 50 euros counts. Yeah. And it really, it dents your confidence in your own business, in your faith in people and the public around you. Yeah. And it's a real setback for the likes of Sabrina there, who's obviously trying to make an honest day's pay.
Yeah. And I guess the reverse of that, and just to reinforce everyone's confidence, I guess, in humankind, is the fact that, Mairead, you want to talk about Capmore Show. I know your grandchildren are involved in it. We'll talk about that in a second. But first of all, Capmore Show, explain to us, what is the extravaganza? What's going on?
Well, look, it's taking part today, or it's taking place today. It's East Limerick, and the show has been going for, I don't know, good to nearly 60 years. And it's a complete voluntary effort. We were there last night. All the exhibits had to come in, you know, the little, you know, wildflowers in a jam jar, birthday cards, Rice Krispie buns. That's what my crew brought over to it. And, you know, everybody was queuing up, putting in their exhibits, and there were people there still laying out the grounds and the parking, and everything will be voluntary today. There were hordes of people there taking the entries in. And, you know, a local show is such a matter of pride with the people in the in a locality that they can put it on, pull it off, and that, you know, everything will work at the end of the day. I think, you know, if you're new to a locality in rural Ireland, one of the best ways to integrate into that community is to volunteer as to become part of the show committee, or, you know, one of the volunteers for the show, because you really, you know, you'll get to the heart of your community, because there people are from every walk of life. You don't have to be a farmer. You don't have anything to do with farming. Get in there and support it and become a volunteer. One of the best things you can do. And last night now, there was a real buzz around the place because the weather forecast was good for today. And that is like over half the battle once you get the good weather. And, you know, if the sun comes out at all, I was in Tullamore last Sunday and to see the queues of people outside the ice cream vans, and they all sitting on the grass eating or loving their 99s. You know, you just get this lovely feel about, you know, what these local shows are about. And because I'm mentioning Cabin Mór, we also have Limerick Show on Sunday week, so tomorrow week. So get a nod in for that as well. Yeah. But look, we had such fun yesterday and the day before making the exhibits.
And
you know?
we'll keep our fingers crossed, I think, for all the shows coming up. I know Trim Agricultural Show, there's Virginia coming up as well, and we're going to keep your fingers crossed for your grandchildren today at the show as well, and I think all the grandchildren as well, just in the interests of equality, we'll say that. Mairead, thank you very much. Dara, we're going to keep you for another item later on in the show, but thanks very much.